Get ready to be inspired and empowered through God's Word as you now listen to the teaching of Reverend Sam Chiaka.
We've been on this very unusual subject of teaching in the Bible. Bible scriptures concerning problems and pains. Perhaps we should have called it the University of Adversity. You see, because indeed, challenges of life play a vital role in our maturity, in our spiritual maturity. If there's anything I've emphasized in this series of study, is the fact that it's okay to go through certain difficulties for your own spiritual advancement. It's okay to learn some things by experience. The Bible teaches that. I've shown you from scriptures that if you were told that your salvation guarantees a life of enjoyment in this life alone, you have believed a false gospel. What is a false gospel? It is the one that promises you good news outside what Jesus died for, and then claims it is by what Jesus did you will achieve it. Challenges and problems, difficulties and tough times are a necessary part of your journey in the divine experience. They are a part of it. We've looked at the life of Joseph, how that Joseph, by the things he faced with his brothers, he was prepared to have a lonely life in Potiphar's house, in the house before Potiphar's house. And furthermore, that life prepared him for the king life with Pharaoh. We've seen the life of David. That David was trained in the backside of the desert how to handle sheep. And only when he had mastered that was he now made king over God's people. When David met Goliath, hear his testimony. His testimony before Saul was that I have fought with the bear, I have fought with the lion. These uncircumcised Philistines shall be like one of them. One of the things that equips you in life is for you to remember what God brought you through in times past. Remember what you experienced. Remember how God delivered you. When you can recall all that you have been through, when you can recall all that God has done in your life, then you are further equipped for the greater life that he intends for you. You need to understand that our life is like a staircase onto greater heights, according to the scriptures. Every level prepares you for the next. Every experience prepares you for the next. Every difficulty prepares you for the next. What you call a problem is an opportunity. What you call a problem is preparation. Problems are part of God's way to prepare you for the great life that He called you to live. We've looked again and again at the scriptures. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Verse 2. My brethren. This is the apostle James writing. Count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing, that is lacking nothing. We read that in the message last week, Sunday. The message, he said, don't rush out of anything prematurely. Your difficulties, your challenges are a preparation for a better life. Therefore, don't rush out of anything prematurely. It's not enough to say, God, God, deliver me from my challenge. Deliver me from this problem. Deliver me from what's going on in my life. I told you there's a better way to pray. Deliver me by knowledge. You see, because if God delivers you without knowledge, you come out from that situation never having learned anything. You don't get better. That's a problem wasted. Hallelujah. That's a problem wasted. You know that the eagle takes the young up and throws it, or allows it to fall off, in teaching it to catch itself so that it can learn to soar. The mother hen sits on the egg to give it warmth, but that's all it can do for it. It gets to a time where it must decide whether to die there or to break out of the egg. But the mother cannot help it from outside. If it breaks the egg for it, it will kill it, because that will mean coming out prematurely. The breaking of the egg gives it the required energy and experience to face the life, the new level of life that it's going to be exposed to. That's the way God treats us. Hallelujah. A father or mother that rushes to do everything for their child will raise an imbecile. You will deform the child. Your child must learn to be able to do certain things by themselves. It may be tough for that child, but that is exactly what is required to equip the child to face the world. That's how it works. God doesn't want to rush you out of every challenges you have. Just quickly bring you out of it, and then you come out as foolish as you were before you entered the problem. God wants you to come out wiser, come out better, come out better equipped. Therefore, he teaches you wisdom. You see, where they all we do is never to teach you God's word. All we do is bring a bottle of water, put it on your head, and be shouting, my father, my father. If all we did is bring broom, hold up your broom, and after praying on the broom, go to your house and say, I sweep out poverty, I sweep out this. Oh boy, you suffer for long ago, because you have refused knowledge. The biggest, the strongest, the most difficult demons to conquer is the demon of ignorance, if it is a demon. Prayer and fasting cannot cast out ignorance. Unfortunately, that's the one that binds a lot of people. Ignorance. Refusal to go for knowledge. The Bible says, my people perish not for the lack of prayer and fasting. They pray, my people pray a lot, but the lack of knowledge. James said, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation, knowing this. See that? The trying of your faith produces patience. Patience is virtue. Produces in you the required character necessary for the next level. Don't hurry out of anything in your life too early, too prematurely. You're never going to achieve that which God wants you to achieve if you keep doing that. A lady who says, I can't walk here, it's tough to walk here, there's nothing I do that works here, I don't know, they find fault in everything I do, I don't know. Rather than pay attention to what is the thing your boss is finding fault with, and get bigger. Toxic environment. Some people just lack the character to discipline themselves. So they blame everything on toxic environment. This is something they say. They say, do what makes you happy. Isn't that correct? Do what makes you happy. We don't even tell that to children. Is that how you train children? Nobody does what makes him happy alone and achieves destiny. Nobody. You don't even train your children that way. Do what makes you happy. Do what makes you happy. What if he wants to play game every day? That's what he's going to do all his life. Playing games. Do what makes you happy. Sometimes we lie to ourselves because we lack self-discipline. We don't know. We don't have stamina. We don't have resistance. We don't have endurance. We don't know how to face tough times and stay put. Stay put, knowing that it is developing in you the muscle for the next phase of your life. Once people are uncomfortable, they walk away. So easy to walk away. So easy to spoil things. So easy. Instead of leaving that job because they're rebuking you over that thing, because your boss is complaining over that thing, you can just get away. Why don't you calm down first? That thing is complaining about, is this something I should work on? Or I'm just some people are just too petty. But you can't stand. And this is why a lot of people remain in circles. Because their life is programmed that it must be pleasure. And if it doesn't feel good for me, then get out. Success, listen to me, brothers and sisters, in anything, comes by virtue. And virtues are not always easy. They're not always easy to walk in. They're not always easy. Some people need to develop stickability. The ability to stick to something. Stick to something that is right and learn to overlook your feelings sometimes. Override your feelings. Live by principles. Hallelujah. Paul, writing to Timothy, he said, endure hardness. Endure what? Endure hardness as a soldier, a good soldier of Christ. Endure hardness. endure toughness. Endure. The wise man said, if you faint in the day of adversity, what did he say? Your strength is small. I think one version says you are made of poor specimen. Poor specimen. So they say there is, you know, a lot of people know about IQ, intelligence quotient. All right, a lot of people know about so they say there are different quotients by which you measure an individual's personality. Okay, so they say there is the intelligence quotient, IQ, there is the EQ, right? There is emotional quotient. There is also the endurance quotient. Endurance. Some people will, I mean, some people can't stand what some other people can stand, can't withstand. What some other people have experienced and didn't feel it. The other one died. But God doesn't want you that way. He wants to strengthen you. And that's why sometimes it is within His will that you go through certain tough times in your life. Some of it, they will even come because you are right, not because you are wrong, because you are right. And that is what we call it persecution. Praise the Lord. It will amaze you that Peter spoke so much about suffering for the cause of Christ. In fact, I did a study on it, all right, and I found out that Peter did not every chapter in all his books, Peter had something to say about suffering. Let me prove it to you. 1 Peter chapter 1. In 1 Peter chapter 1, it talked about the suffering of Christ and the glory that should follow. And by that, he laid the foundation. In chapter 2, that's 1 Peter 1:11. In chapter 2, 1 Peter. Read from verse 18. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear. Not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. That's exactly what I just got through talking about. He said, be subject to your masters. We put it in our days context, be to your boss. Not only to the kind and the nice bosses. Most times, the nice and kind bosses don't bring out the best out of us. It's the tough one. It's the tough one that will really bring out the best in you. Say, but to the forward, verse 19, for this is thankworthy if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it when ye be buffeted for your fault, you take it patiently, but if when ye do well, you suffer for it, you take it patiently. This is acceptable unto God. When you suffer for doing wrong, you receive it well. And when you suffer for doing right, say receive it well too. Verse 21, for even hereunto ye are called, you are called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow in his steps. We know that Christ suffered for you, but he also suffered as an example. So there is the suffering of Christ, there is the substitutionary suffering of Christ. But there's also the exemplary suffering of Christ. He suffered for you, but also suffered so that you will see him and learn. You get that? That's in chapter 2. Go to chapter 3. Verse 14. But if, but and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your heart, and be ready to give an answer to every man that asketh you the reason for your hope, with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoer, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better if the will of God be so that you suffer for well doing than for evil doing. For Christ also had once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us unto God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Hallelujah. Verse 17. For it is better if the will that he suffered for well doing than for evil doing. All right, we already read that. Go to chapter 4. So, chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, right? Chapter 4. Verse 1. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. He speaks again of Christ's suffering. Then in verse 13 of that same chapter 4, it says, but rejoice in as much as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. Do you see how he keep pointing to Christ's suffering as an example for our own suffering? What was Christ suffering? What he suffered on the cross when he died. How did his suffering end? In his glory. He's saying that is how it is for you. All sufferings for the child of God, all sufferings for the man of faith, ends in what? Glory. Therefore, when you experience the suffering, you know the end from the beginning. You know how it will end. Thank you, Jesus. Then he tells you in verse 15, but let none of you suffer as a murderer, as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in another man's matter. Yet if a man suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, let him glorify God on this behalf. Hallelujah. In verse 19, he tells us, wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well doing as unto a faithful creator. So there is suffering which is the will of God. Can we agree there is a suffering that is the will of God? When I say suffering, I'm not talking about, we'll see in a moment. Look at chapter 5. Again in verse 1, he starts by speaking of the suffering of Christ. The elders which are among you I exhort, whom I'm also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Now he writes in verse 10. Go to verse 10, chapter 5. But the God of all grace, who had called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while. Can you see that? After you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. He says, when you have suffered for a while, what will he do? He will make you perfect. The word perfect there means mature. Establish, strengthen, and he settle you. Thank you, Jesus. Relax. He settle you. How long are you going to be in the suffering? Depending on how you handle the suffering. As long as you keep seeing it as as long as you're not learning your lessons, you are still bitter. You are worsening your own case and you're elongating your suffering. When you learn to comport yourself in your sufferings and follow that which is right, keep your tongue from evil, your lips from speaking guile. Don't speak rashly because of what you're going through. Don't say, God, I thought you were God. God, where are you? And then you start saying all those kind of things. When you are reviled, don't revile back. When you are ill spoken of, don't speak in the same language. That's the way to handle it. Otherwise, you complicate the matter for yourself. You trust in God who takes care of you. He says, when you have suffered for a while, this is what he will do. Hallelujah. Because I want to move quickly to Paul's. Paul also talked about the sufferings. Let's leave 2 Peter for now. I hope I will get there. Paul talked about his sufferings also. Hallelujah. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 29. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 29. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to what? To suffer for his sake. To suffer for his sake. Now let me quickly explain suffering for his sake. That's Philippians 1:29. Suffering for his sake does not only mean that you are being persecuted because you believe in him. That is one. Suffering for his sake also involves the things you have to go through that is not funny because of your service to him. That's also suffering for him. He says, it is given, for unto you it is given. So he gave you the fruit of the Spirit, he gave you the gift of the Spirit, he gave you power, he gave you all those things. All right? You can claim all those ones. But he also gave you this one, though. Not only to believe on him, but also to what? To suffer. If you are not colliding with the devil, it's because both of you are going in the same direction. Share, you get me? If you are not colliding with the devil, it's because both of you are on the same. If you are in the opposite direction the devil is going, you will collide. You will collide. Hallelujah. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10, Paul prayed. His desire, he says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, be made conformable unto his death. What is fellowship? Fellowship means, is the Greek koinonia. It means sharing. It means to partake. It means you share the same thing. It means partnership. The fellowship of his suffering. I want to share in his suffering. Be made conformable unto his death. Hallelujah. Let's look at 2 Corinthians, where Paul, went in some good detail to explain some of the things he had to experience in ministry. 2 Corinthians 11. Look at it in verse 21. I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak, howbeit whensoever any is bold, I speak foolishly. I'm bold also. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. Watch this. Guess what we use to say, am I a minister of Christ? I am more. Look at the things we use. I have more branches. I have a large following. Do you know how many people follow me on social media? Do you know how many views on YouTube? Do you know I have a large congregation? I have money. I have, do you know people I've met? I've met the president of Gambia. I've met the president of Ghana. I've met the president of Zimbabwe. I've been here. Those are the things we pride ourselves about. So say, this one is a great man of God. See Paul's boasting. He said, are they ministers? Where are we reading now? Verse what? 23. Are they ministers of Christ? Speak as a fool. I am more. More in what? Watch the more. In labor. More abundant. In stripes. That is flogging. Above measure. In prison. More frequent. In debts. That is, I almost died. A situation where we almost died. See, that one is often. Of the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes. Save one. The Jews often, when they punish, they flog with 40 stripes of the Akoboko. And if you are a Jew, it's minus one. If you are not a Jew, it will give you complete. Do you get that? 25. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. You know, in the middle of the sea. You look like this, only water. Like this, only everywhere, only water. We have been there, hopeless. For a day and night. Why? They were shipwrecked. In journeys, traveling often. And it's not plain. There was no first class. Every travel is dangerous. It's a dangerous adventure. You could die. It's not like today. You know, you can go on in ship and it's more comfortable and more convenient and easier. It was terrible. You see that? In journeys often. In perils. Perils means danger. In danger of waters. In danger of robbers. Paul was always in danger of being robbed. That means there were times the man was robbed. So Paul met robbers. Hey, bring everything in your pocket. Empty the man of God. Paul was robbed. Have they collected your phone before? Collected your money? You're not the first. He's in the Bible. Say, you're not a man of God. It happened to Paul. Hallelujah. That's in verse 26. In perils of my own countrymen. So after robbers, if I escape robbers on the road, that will leave me. Even my own countrymen are looking for me to kill me. In perils of the heathen, even the people I'm going to preach to. In peril in the city, in peril in the wilderness, in peril in the sea, in peril among false brethren. Everywhere I'm in danger. whether it's the people I'm going to preach to, whether it's the people that I'm coming from. The Jews hate me because I preach the gospel. The Gentiles hate me because I'm coming to present another God. While I'm going from here to here, I'm in danger also. Even while I'm going from here to there, the people I'm with too, some false brethren, who pretend in danger of those two. People who look like they love you, but they don't. Because I'm always in danger. You see that? Verse 27, in weariness, like tiredness, in painfulness, in watchings often, loneliness. That's it. Loneliness. In hunger, in thirst, fasting often, in cold, in nakedness. Besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, what is that? The care of all the churches. Getting reports. How are they doing there? How is the church? Oh, we heard that sister so-and-so has done so-and-so. Ah, that one too is his problem. Oh, brother so-and-so is in this. Ah, this brother has been sick for the... Ah, the care of all the churches. Who is weak and I'm not weak? Who is offended? So some people have issues. We are offended. We don't like the way they are sharing food in this church. Who is offended and I burn not? He starts burning. I thought you cannot live with offense. He has to start teaching again. You know, that's the very things we are running away from. Why we don't want to do so? They give you a cell to handle. That's the very thing you are running from. But you don't get it. That's the very thing that is the suffering of ministry. That's the thing. Glory to God. That's the thing. You can labor on people, and then he ends up in nothing. Well, you keep laboring. That's the job. That's the work. You see? Verse 30, if I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern my infirmities, that which concern my weakness. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. In Damascus, the governor, under Aretas, the king, kept the city of Damascus with a garrison, desirous to apprehend, that is, arrest me. They were looking for me to arrest me. And through a window, in a basket, I was let down by the wall and I escaped. What a life. So, this is suffering for Christ. Alright? Hallelujah. Our modern day churches have not taught us that suffering is part of the thing. It's part of the deal. You were not informed. They didn't tell you. Suffering is part of it. The thing is this, whether you serve the Lord Jesus or you don't serve the Lord Jesus, you will suffer. Choose your suffering. I mean, it's just smart to suffer the suffer that will bring you eternal reward. Why don't you have the hardness in the service of the Lord and use it well? Suffer for Christ. Embrace it. Embrace it. It's part of it. It's part of it. We have given our money for the work of God and trek to. What do you say? You are brainwashed. No, we are not brainwashed. We are blood washed. The blood of Jesus. We have emptied our account for this work. We have done some sacrifices and we still do. For this matter, we die here. You see this gospel, we die here. I will die in this walk. I don't have plan B. Don't have plan B. Glory to God. I mean, that's how your life should be. Make up your mind. Make up your mind. Make up your mind. Some sufferings are worth it. They are worth it. There was a time for my faith, everybody turned against me. There was a time my entire family said I was mad. I've lost friends on this matter. On this matter. There was a time where people who used to kneel to greet me before, now attack me on Facebook. In those days, 2016 and thereabout, 15, they are now free to use all kinds of words on me. Doesn't change anything. On this matter, we stay. All right, get used to it. Make up your mind very early. Very early. Suffering for Christ is part of the deal. And remember, in all of it, your sufferings make you stronger, make you better equipped and prepares you for a greater life. You want to work with power? You want to work with God and with power? You must learn to suffer for Him. You must be willing to stand alone if need be. Willing and ready to do it. Amen. And that's basically it. Hallelujah. All right. Equip yourself. Get set. Carry your cross. Follow Jesus. Carry your cross. And carry it early. And follow Jesus. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Give Him thanks. Problems are good. They are good for you. They are very good. They make you better. They make you stronger. I said your prayer should not be deliver me. Your prayer should be deliver me by knowledge. That which I must know, let me know. That which I should learn, let me learn. That which I should understand, help me to understand. That which you want to open my eyes to, open my eyes to it. Talk to the Lord, talk to the Lord. Kerema Sateka Shapata. The bigger the challenge you have to go through, then the bigger the future. The level of challenges that come to you is a sign pointing to where He's taking you to. It's a sign. So tapatada. Open my eyes to see, to know, to learn, to understand. Let me learn that which I must learn, to see that which I must see, to know that which I must know, to understand that which I must understand. Zatoko puyala sakatike matuka. Don't let me waste my time in this life. Help me to learn early so that I don't repeat classes. When a child fails exam, he repeats class. Lord, help me not to repeat classes. Zota patama, sekatoga pasata, shapakatoga parata, shega parata kusatika. Oh, we thank you. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we give you praise. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
This message was brought to you by the Father's Family Mission International. For more information on our ministry schedule, how you can partner with us, or to download more edifying messages free of charge, visit www.thefathersfamily.org.ng. God bless you.